From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. I'm back in the studio after joining the FRC Action Values Bus Tour in North Carolina and Tennessee. I'll talk more about that later. But coming up over the weekend, Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court by a vote of 50-48 by the U.S. Senate. And it could be more timely, with several important cases on religious liberty poised to come before the nation's highest court. One of those cases involves the Bladensburg Peace Cross, a World War II monument, that the humanists say is unconstitutional. Well, because of the far-reaching effects of the current lower court decision, over 100 members of Congress have asked the high court to take up the case. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise helped lead that effort, and he joins me in just a moment. And following a brief trip to North Korea on Sunday, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said North Korean leader Kim Jong-un was ready to allow international inspectors into the North's nuclear and missile testing sites. That was one of the main sticking points over an earlier denuclearization pledge. We'll talk with Asian expert Gordon Chang a little later here on Washington Watch. And undoubtedly, you heard reports on the outrageous protest over Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation vote on Saturday. FRC's own Mary Beth Waddell in our government affairs office was in the Senate gallery Saturday for the vote and witnessed firsthand the left's complete meltdown. She's here with the details. And we'll be taking your phone calls on this Monday edition of Washington Watch. Let me encourage you to check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Also, take the pledge. That's what we've been crisscrossing the country doing, and I'll talk more about our stops yesterday, a couple of churches, one in North Carolina, one in Tennessee. But take the pledge to vote, first off, the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand. So go to PrayVoteStand.com and take the pledge. All right, very soon, the Supreme Court could announce its decision to hear an appeal over whether the 40-foot Peace Cross, as it is known by locals in Bladensburg, Maryland, whether it's too tall and too Christian for a government to own and maintain in accordance with the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Now, bear in mind, it's been there for almost 100 years, and now all of a sudden it's unconstitutional. Joining me now is the House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Louisiana, and he actually spearheaded an effort to get members to sign on to a brief asking the court to take the case. Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, always great to be back with you.
Now, this case has far-reaching implications for the display of memorials like this. Now, this is for World War I veterans, those that were actually killed in World War I in Bladensburg, Maryland. It's been there, for almost 100 years. Your motivation for getting Congress to weigh in on this issue?
Well, Tony, it's a significant case. And as you mentioned, the Supreme Court is getting ready to take this up. Boy, talk about the importance of the Kavanaugh confirmation being on the Supreme Court. This was a decision that the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the cross was unconstitutional. And as you mentioned, Tony, this cross has been up there since 1925. It honors Bladensburg area men who actually served and died during World War I. And here they come in and say that the cross is unconstitutional. And if the Supreme Court were to go 4-4 on this, then that means the cross would be taken down. It would also have further implications if you just drive through Arlington National Cemetery. I mean, just shows you the true price of our freedoms. And you see so many crosses there. What are they going to go and take those crosses down too? So it's so important that Kavanaugh is on the court. This is a real big religious freedom case. And I think it's important that members of Congress chime in.
Steve, I want to make sure people understand what you just said, that this case revolves around the Bladensburg Cross case, which, as you said, a World War I monument. But the principle here, the precedent, I should say, that would be set by the lower courts, which is what's being appealed to the Supreme Court, could lead to the crosses in Arlington Cemetery that mark the graves of those who have died for this country and who have served this country. Those could be found unconstitutional.
They absolutely could. It's one of the reasons why the case is actually being brought forward by the American Legion, and the American Legion seal is also prominently displayed at the Memorial Center. So this is something real important for a lot of veterans across this country, but also people who just believe in the basic religious liberty issues that if you want to put a cross at the top of the Star David, if you're Jewish, whatever you want to have as one of the head markers for your grave once you die, are you now going to not be able to put up a cross depending on where you're buried? Again, this is it's almost unbelievable. It defies logic that this court, that the Supreme Court has to rule in order to reverse the Fourth Circuit decision. But the standing federal decision right now is that it's unconstitutional to have that cross be there.
And what's amazing about it, it's been there for almost 100 years, and now all of a sudden it is unconstitutional. Steve, I was talking with the actual attorneys, some of the attorneys handling this case over the weekend. This First Liberty is the one that's handling this case. And the way the Supreme Court selects its cases that it takes up each session of the court each year, you know, there are a whole bunch of them, and they pick through. They've passed over this one twice, which suggests that they were waiting for Kavanaugh to potentially join the court so that the votes are clearly there, because this will be a major precedent-setting case. I mean, Kavanaugh's confirmation and him being seated on the court could not come at a more critical time when you look at not only this case but other cases that are coming before the court.
It's so true, Tony, and, you know, it's why there was so much at stake. I mean, there was no excuse for the way the left went unhinged. But at the same time, it shows you why elections have consequences, why so many faith-based people. And, I mean, you were one of those people who really encouraged people during that race between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton to get out and vote for Donald Trump, if for no other reason than you saw that Scalia opening on the court and knew that there might be more to come, and just how long-lasting those decisions can be. And so, again, if Kavanaugh was not on the bench and it was a liberal and Hillary Clinton would have won, that would be a 5-4 decision, and they would literally take that cross down, and then right in the crosshair, so to speak, would be all of those other crosses at so many memorials across our country. And Arlington is one, but not the only one, unfortunately, where you have these crosses that are literally in jeopardy right now. And so I think it's one more critical case. You don't never know how anybody's going to rule. But the fact that Judge Kavanaugh was somebody who always expressed a deep belief in the way that the Constitution was written, our founding fathers were men who were deep, men of deep faith, and they believed that this was a country founded under God, not founded by some nebulous entity or just a nation of men. This was a nation of laws that were given to us by God, our Creator, and they were very clear in their writings about it. And so I'm very proud that that Judge Kavanaugh believes in that same founding principle of our country.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Steve Scalise, my guest, Majority Whip in the House of Representatives. You know, Steve, you and I have been in politics. We were elected the same time, so we've been involved in about the same amount of time. And we've seen, I mean, look, we've seen this increasing division and, you know, viciousness, I think. But I have to say, I was surprised at how vicious and how, I mean, just unhinged the left was over Brett Kavanaugh. You?
Yeah, you know, it's always high stakes when there's a Supreme Court pick. But, you know, this was one of those cases where it was Kennedy stepping down because he knew that that President Trump would be appointing his replacement. Otherwise, he probably would have stayed on the court. So you're not talking about a shift in the true directional philosophy of the court, although it shouldn't matter. It should be based on the qualifications of the person put forward by the president. And in this case, Judge Kavanaugh had an impeccable judicial record. And, you know, and then you just saw with, you know, with the way that Dianne Feinstein leaked the name of Ms. Ford. Ms. Ford, by the way, wanted to remain anonymous. And it was only through Dianne Feinstein's staff or somewhere associated with Senator Feinstein's office that her name got leaked to the press, because they wanted her leaked to the press. They violated her privacy request. And it shows you what the left thinks of individual people as long as the end justifies the means, and that seek and destroy attitude that you saw Judge Kavanaugh defending himself so appropriately. And so it's just unfortunate it should have never come to that, and it should be based on the merits of the person before them, and ultimately, even after the investigation, the seventh investigation by the FBI into Judge Kavanaugh that found absolutely no wrongdoing, you still had nearly every, all but one Democrat vote no, even in the face of the multiple FBI investigations showing that here's a man of integrity. Every girl he's ever dated that came forward, Tony, testified that he is a man of integrity who deserves to be on the Supreme Court. I mean, how many other people have stood that kind of test and made it all the way through?
When you look at these cases, like we were just talking about, the Bladensburg case and other religious liberty cases, pro-life cases, a number of issues, and that's just focusing on one aspect of the kind of the social moral issues, which, by the way, are the ones that are the most significant at the court from a standpoint of creating the controversy, because the court wades in, decides these things, has decided these things before we reached a consensus as a country, and that's what
I think is made. And these are foundational principles, Tony. You know this as well, but it's unfortunate to think that so many cases like this are 5-4 decisions before the court. They should be 9-0 decisions. If you truly believe in the Constitution that was written, only can somebody who wants to write their own version of the Constitution come to a conclusion that some of these basic fundamental foundations of our nation's founding should be thrown out. And that's why you end up with a 5-4 decision. But Bladensburg, like so many of these other values-related issues, should be 9-0 in our favor.
Well, Congressman Steve Scalise, thanks for taking the lead on this and getting so many of your colleagues to sign on to the brief.
We have over 100 House and Senate members that have now signed on, in case you're wondering. So I appreciate what Family Research Council has done. I know you promoted this, but we now have over 100. In fact, we did a joint letter with Senator Cruz leading on the Senate side. So we're really proud that so many members of Congress signed on to this letter.
I think it's 109, and which is a lot for a brief like this. And so I feel very certain that the justices are going to take a hard look at that, because members of Congress asking them to weigh in. Thanks for your leadership on that, Steve, and thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon.
Always great to be with you, Tony. Thank you.
All right, Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana, the House Majority Whip. These are important issues, and I think this is why, again, the left is unhinged, because they have to have the court to tear down monuments, to strip you of your First Amendment freedoms. I mean, think about it, a cross that has stood for nearly 100 years, since 1925. No one ever thought it was unconstitutional until just recently, when the left went to the courts to do so. Look at all of these issues: prayer, Bible reading, Ten Commandments, abortion, marriage. The courts. That is why it's so contentious. All right, when we come back, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was in North Korea this weekend. We'll talk with Gordon Chang on the other side of the break. Don't go away.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app, and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo just wrapped up his fourth visit to North Korea. Secretary Pompeo is highlighting Kim Jong-un's supposed concession on inviting inspectors to a defunct nuclear testing site. And there are reports that a second summit is close to becoming a reality. With us now is Gordon Chang, author of The Coming Collapse of China. He is an Asian expert in that area of the world. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony.
All right. Reason to be optimistic with the news coming out of North Korea from the weekend's meeting?
Well, there was some progress made when Secretary Pompeo was in Pyongyang. But I think we need to see much more in the way of denuclearization of North Korea before we have the second summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. The North Koreans are making sort of very small concessions. So, for instance, they are going to allow inspectors into the Punggye Ri site. It would have been much better if the international inspectors were there in May when the North Koreans dynamited three tunnels. Right now, I'm not so sure that we can see very much now that the tunnels have been closed. But nonetheless, we can welcome small advances.
So explain then to our listeners where we are in the process of the denuclearization of North Korea.
Well, there was the June 12th summit in Singapore between Trump and Kim, and there was an agreement to work for the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. That phrase that we believe means North Korea gives up its weapons, and then we give up sanctions, and we establish relations with North Korea. The North Koreans have a different meaning for that phrase, depending on the time. It can include, of course, the breakup of the security alliance between the United States and South Korea, the removal of our forces from the peninsula. It can also include the U.S. giving up all its nuclear weapons as well. So there's a lot that has to be determined because we're a long way from where we need to be, which is North Korea surrendering its ballistic missiles as well, of course, as its nuclear weapons.
So is part of the challenge actually using the same definitions that, I mean, we have one definition of denuclearization and they have another?
Absolutely. And that has yet to be fully scoped out. Because what we need to see is a clear commitment by the Kim regime to surrender its nukes and its missiles. That we have yet to get. Right now, the thing that complicates this is that Moon Jae-in, the South Korean president, is taking the side of North Korea. And both Moon and Kim really want to see unification of the two Koreas. Moon is willing to do this under conditions that undermine the ability of the international community to disarm Kim. And so this has gotten pretty complicated. President Trump had an unusually effective policy towards North Korea, better than any other American president. But he squandered the advantage starting about the end of May. And so right now we're at a point where we need to get the initiative back, because the North Koreans, the Chinese, the Russians, and the South Koreans are openly violating sanctions, and we need to do something about that.
I mean, Gordon, I mean, I was actually a bit surprised. I mean, I knew that the secretary was going to go over there, but I was surprised when I heard that it was coming about, because last time he was there in July, I mean, as soon as he left, I mean, they started pouncing on Secretary Pompeo, saying that he made gangster-like demands. It didn't sound like that was a very warm relationship.
No, it wasn't. And what made it worse is that the North Koreans went out of their way to humiliate Secretary Pompeo. And so it was good for President Trump in August to put off Pompeo's trip to Pyongyang. Now things are a little bit better. But what we have not heard, and this is really critical, Trump's policy makes a lot of sense if the North Koreans have made a fundamental decision to give up their nukes and their missiles. Now, a number of people, including Moon Jae-in, the South Korean president, says that Kim has. But from the statement that you talked about, that was from the early July meeting when Pompeo went to Pyongyang, it really doesn't seem like the North has made that strategic tactical choice, which we all need to hear.
But could there be things being discussed and agreed to that have not yet been formalized that we just haven't heard about?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure that is the case, Tony, because there is a lot of diplomacy going on behind the scenes. And there is a lot of, I think there are a lot of developments that we have yet to fully understand on the outside. And really the challenge for Trump diplomacy in this regard will be, well, maybe about 2 or 3 months down the road, to see if the statements made by the Secretary of State, which are quite optimistic these days, are indeed warranted. But I agree with you. There's a lot that we don't know.
So, Gordon Chang, positive developments. Are you encouraged? You think this may be leading to a potential solution?
It could be leading to a potential solution, Tony. There are a number of things that are extremely troublesome and are very much of concern. And, you know, going back to your previous question, we're just going to have to see what those behind-the-scenes developments are. If those developments are significant, then the concerns that many people have, including me, are going to be unwarranted. But if we don't see some real progress soon, then I think that there is cause for concern. And we're just going to – I know it sounds lame, but we're just going to have to wait a month or two to see what actually has occurred that we have yet to understand.
Well, very quickly, what is that time frame? Is it – I mean, where do we really need to see genuine progress to know that we're moving in the right direction?
I think it's like a month, 2 months. I'm sure the administration is going to say there's no timeline. President Trump said he's not in a hurry. But I think we need to be, because what's happening on the ground in South Korea, where we see Moon Jae-in subverting democracy in the hopes of unification with North Korea, this is an extremely troublesome situation that President Trump needs to get his hands around.
Very, 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 very good. Very insightful, Gordon. As always, great to have you on. We're going to continue to watch this. And as we see developments, we'll have you back on to talk about them. Thanks so much for joining us, Gordon.
Well, thank you, Tony.
Gordon Chang. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, coming up next, Judge Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation sparked protest among activists, edging on the side of insanity. Mary Beth Waddell, senior legislative assistant at the Family Research Council, was in the Senate gallery on Saturday. She'll be here with a firsthand report. That's next here on Washington Watch, and still to come, your phone calls. Don't go away. More Washington Watch straight ahead. We'll be right back.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Sergeant at Arms will restore order in the gallery. The Sergeant at Arms will restore order in the gallery.
Now, that is not the Washington Watch audience. That was a recording from this weekend in the Senate chamber as the Vice President of the United States was presiding over the vote of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Multiple outbreaks. In fact, during the course of this whole confirmation, going back to the hearings and the confirmation vote, over 350 people were arrested for attempting to disrupt the various proceedings, just short of 400 people. I mean, the left was unhinged. In fact, after that, there were people actually when he went to at 6 o'clock when he was sworn in at the Senate, at the Supreme Court, there were people that broke through the line that you're not supposed to step on the steps of the Supreme Court. You can protest on the sidewalk, but you can't step on the steps. Not sure why. You can't pray on them. Can't step on them. You can't do anything. That would be disrupting. They broke through that and went, and they were clawing with their hands, scratching, moaning, screaming at the door of the Supreme Court. With us now is Mary Beth Waddell. She's a senior legislative assistant in the Government Affairs Department, and she was in the Senate gallery on Saturday and witnessed firsthand the outburst that took place in the chamber. Mary Beth, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
So describe the scene for us, what as you were sitting in the gallery watching the vote take place.
Because of everything that had happened, you somewhat expected that there was going to be some outbursts at some point. So you're sort of sitting on the edge of your seat as you're listening to the senator speak, and then all of a sudden somebody stands up and starts screaming at the top of their lungs, blood-curdling screams like they're being mauled by a bear or something. It was, and that happened multiple times. It was really surreal. Like, even though you sort of expected it, given everything up to this point, but wow.
So Mary Beth, it wasn't just kind of people standing up and saying, "I'm against him." I mean, it was kind of bizarre.
Yeah, it was. There were one or two that would maybe stand up and make one statement and then get escorted out, but the majority were screaming at the top of their lungs. One woman, it sounded like she got even higher and louder once they had her in the hallway, trying to make sure she could still be heard in the gallery. And I didn't think she could get higher or louder, but it sounded like she did.
Now, you are not unfamiliar with these confirmations of Supreme Court justices.
Correct. I am not. I actually worked for the Senate Judiciary Committee through the confirmation of Justice Gorsuch.
And what did we see during that confirmation?
Nothing like this. You did have people who were unhappy, people bringing up Merrick Garland, things like this. But you didn't have a systematic, every couple of minutes, a disruption, yelling in the crowd, those types of things. You just didn't see that. You had much more order, and it just was a much more pleasant process then.
Yeah, I actually went back. I was digging back when Kagan was confirmed on the court, because that was back in 2010. In fact, I testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee in opposition to her appointment. But I pulled an article from Mother Jones magazine, by no means a conservative magazine. I mean, they're about as leftist as you come. And here was a story written about the Kagan confirmations. More than 1,000 members of the public tramped through the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing room last week to catch a glimpse of the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan. Strangely, not a single one of them leapt up to scream "baby killer" at her. The hearings, which finished late Thursday night, were remarkably sedate affair. Went on to say the silence of the anti-abortion protesters was weird. During Justice Sonia Sotomayor confirmation hearings last year, protesters gave the proceedings their only element of surprise. At least 5 people were detained for yelling murder and other slogans about the unborn at Sotomayor. Even Norma McCorvey, the late Norma McCorvey, she's passed away, who was the Roe of Roe v. Wade, was arrested. Actually, only 4 were arrested. Back when a liberal was appointed to the court, disrupted and were arrested, and almost 400. I mean, there's something going on here.
Absolutely. It's almost, I'm remembering back to in 2015 with the whole internet and dress thing. Is it black and gold or is it blue and white? And it's like people have this completely different reality, this completely different perspective that is just completely opposite from what you actually see. Like you hear Senator Schumer and then you hear Senator McConnell or Senator Grassley, and they're saying diametrically opposite sentences and opposite statements, and it's just crazy.
Very quickly, Mary Beth, was it exciting to be there watching history unfold?
It was. I would say it was exciting. It was definitely a historic moment, a moment in history that I'll always be able to say I was there. So yeah, it was definitely exciting, even if you did jump a couple times, even though you're sort of expecting it. It was still made you jump.
Well, well-deserved opportunity. You and the entire team in government affairs with David Christensen did a great job in being a part of this successful nomination and confirmation of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls here on this Monday afternoon on Washington Watch, 866-372-7234. That is the number to call. We'll talk more about Judge Brett Kavanaugh. In fact, as soon as we finish up, I have to head to the White House for the swearing-in ceremony. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. The phone number, 866-372-7234. Here's what we want to talk about. I know we've got some folks already lined up, and we'll take your questions. But here's what I want to talk about. Under any definition, the left is unhinged. Okay? Now, you may disagree, and if you do, call me. That's fine. I'll take that. But they're extreme. Just, again, a comparison. You go back to Kagan. Four conservatives arrested for calling her a baby killer, almost 400 arrested in the Kavanaugh hearing. I mean, total disruption. Clawing at the door of the Supreme Court. The gnashing of teeth. Okay, so here's what I want to know. And this is instructive for me because I can I use this. I know it's anecdotal, it's not scientific, but it's still helpful. What impact will the left's extremism have on you? Are you going to be intimidated by it? Are you going to shrink back and be quiet? Or does this help you realize just what's at stake and that it's time to stand up? Now, look, it's time. I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm not talking about, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I'm talking about standing up and speaking and educating other people. Like one of the emails I just got from over the weekend, one of our listeners. Let's see if I can find it. Oops, knocked a few things off the desk there. This is a correspondence came in over the weekend. I have always been one of those people who just didn't get involved in politics. I felt that no difference could be made by me. Well, I started listening to FRC right before the last big election. I learned that I need to check out all the people running and voting for and vote for the one that aligns with my beliefs. And I found that I can make a difference. I can pray. I can contact my senators or any of the representatives. I am now an informed person, and I can have discussions with those who just follow. See, people, folks can make a difference when you know what's going on. But you got to speak up. You can't be intimidated. So here's what I want to know. This extremism that we're seeing in full display by the left, are you going to allow that to intimidate you? Or should we allow it to intimidate us and make us be silent? Or should we respectfully but boldly stand up and speak truth. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Michael in Texas. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony. Thank you so much for taking my call. Absolutely not. It's not going to intimidate me as a voter. In fact, it's made me like the letter that you got. It's made me become more informed, to want more information. I want to know that my candidate, number one, is a Christian, and number two, what his views are. And that he's standing on those views, and he's not going to get my vote if I don't know that. But another large part of these exhibitions that we've had take place and no one has spoke about was a lot of those people that were disruptive and pulling all the shenanigans were employees of organizations funded by George Soros.
Right.
So
right.
Why don't we make that a priority on informing everybody that this is somebody that is working and paying and employing people right here in the United States to bring about the downfall of our country. And
yeah,
I don't think that that's touched on enough. I really don't. But
yeah.
Your thoughts?
Good point, Michael. Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, actually,
yes,
that's
sir.
True. That hasn't been talked about a lot. I wonder if they might claim that that's why the unemployment rate is so low, because the left is hiring so many protesters. I've actually seen this happen, where the protesters rat out the people that hired them because they didn't pay them what they agreed to pay them. Yeah, I was working. I was supposed to get this, and I only got so much money and a T-shirt. That's the difference. You know, we don't hire people. We don't have to, because we care about this republic, and we know that we're at a point in the history of this nation that it's in jeopardy. And the left, what this is all intended to do, and it did this to some legislators because some of them really don't have much courage. That's the biggest crisis, I think, in America today, is a lack of courage. We need courageous people. I'm just from a standpoint of knowing, if you know what's right, I'm not saying you pick a fight, but when you know what's right and someone is telling you it's wrong, don't be silent. When you know, when in your schools where your kids go or your neighbors go, and they're saying, well, you know, we just need to have these gender-neutral bathrooms. We need to be welcoming of them. You know that's insanity. You know it's insanity. Say so. Speak up. That's what actually encourages me right now, is I think for the first time in a long time, probably, I don't know, maybe it's the first time ever in my life, that I actually see conservatives saying, you know what, they pushed us so far to the edge, they can't push us any further, and they're not going to do it. We're going to push back. And again, not in the same way that they do. We should not engage in the character assassination and the attacks and the unlawful activities. I'm not advocating for that at all. In fact, I've always opposed to that. But we should not be silent. We must speak truth. Speak it in love, but speak the truth nonetheless. All right, let's go to John in Mississippi. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Brother Tony?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for what you do. I think what it all boils down to is, I'm going to start with that Bladensburg cross. They're coming for the godless. The next cross they're going to come for is in the every grave. It's in Arlington. They're going to come for that. And what it boils down to, you're right, we have to be brave. We have to stand up. And those who cannot stand up physically or do whatever, they have to fight on their knees and pray the way you're telling us to pray. We have to pray for our country, because some of us can't get out on the front lines, but we can have a prayer life, you know, for this country, because this is not our country. This country belongs to God. His hand is on it, just like Israel. Israel, that's God's country. He put his hand on it. And we're fighting with God as co-laborers, you know, for this country.
You are absolutely right, John. Pray, pray, pray. We all need to be praying. And that's why we have this pledge to pray for America, to vote our biblical values, and to stand unapologetically for those transcendent truths that made America a great nation. And, John, every one of us can do that. And every one of us can have conversations, you know. We just don't need to shrink back anymore and be silent or be afraid. It's the time of being fearful and afraid must be over. It's a time to be courageous. Yeah. It's a time to be bold. Again, I'm not in any way suggesting we need to be ugly and demeaning like the left. We need to be bold in speaking truth. John, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening, because you're absolutely right. The crosses in the cemeteries, Arlington, are next. They'll take God, that's etched on the buildings in this city in Washington, D.C. I can see them taking the jackhammers to take those out. That's absolutely right. It's a progression, and it's got to stop here, folks. And this coming midterm election is a key point. And you need to be registered, and you need to be voting, and you need to influence your friends to vote as well. All right, let's go to BG in Texas. BG, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir. I love your program. Listen to it every day when possible. Most of it is. One thing I'd like to know is there's 50 and 50 whenever they do the voting. How come we had a 50-48 vote? What happened to the other two? I'm sure it's something that's...
Good question. Good question, BG. I'll tell you what happened. You had Senator Steve Daines, whose daughter was getting married, and that was prearranged. And you had another he's a Republican from Montana. You had Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, another Republican, who was against Kavanaugh. And so what they did is they essentially paired their votes. It's a kind of a technical thing where she voiced her opposition to him, but abstained from the vote, so that they canceled each other out. So that's why you had the 50-48. That was it. Just that's the explanation. So, all right, BG, hope that helps. 866-372-7234. Let me give it a shout out real quick before I go to Tammy in Ohio. Hang on there, Tammy, coming to you next. Take the pledge. Pray. VoteStand.com. This week is prayer for the marketplace. Today is to pray that Christian business owners would recognize, understand, and acknowledge the source of their power to succeed, as it talks about in Deuteronomy 8:18. The Lord gives us the ability to make money. You can get this prayer guide, a daily prayer guide, when you sign up for the prayer pledge at PrayVoteStand.com. This weekend, I mentioned I was on the values bus in North Carolina. Had a great time in North Carolina. We were at Christian Faith Assembly with Pastor Leon Treat. And a great, great church there. Had a great time there. And then we headed on the bus to Tennessee and Kingsport, Tennessee at Higher Ground Baptist Church with Dr. Ronnie Owen. And anyway, you can find out if the bus is coming to your neighborhood. Go to valuesbustour.com, valuesbustour.com, and you can find out. We got a bus in California. In fact, it was at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, with my good friend Jack Hibbs yesterday, and John Cox, who is running for governor out there, was there, and they all took the pledge and signed the bus yesterday. Now, you might not be able to sign the bus, but you can still take the pledge. Go to PrayVoteStand.com. All right, Tammy in Ohio, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony.
Go ahead,
can you hear me?
I can. How are you doing? Yes,
I'm
I can.
Good. How about yourself?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Tony, I was a registered Democrat for a number of years, voted because we were in the union. The union would send out a pledge card, tell you exactly who to vote for, and we just voted that way because we were straight union, right? So then when I got saved at the age, you know, a young age, I began to try to reconcile with what the Democrats believed in versus what the Republicans believed in. And I could not reconcile that. So I believe your question to us was, should we be strong? Yes, we should be strong. It doesn't mean my rights trump anybody else's. It doesn't mean theirs trump mine. But I believe if we as conservative Christians don't stand up and have a voice, we're going to continue to get squelched. And we can be nice about it. We don't have to be ugly. We don't have to threaten anybody. But what we're seeing, I have voted in every election. I'm in my mid-50s. I have voted in every election since I was 18 years old. I have never seen anything like this in my lifetime. And I think the call to Christians to stand up is now. And I think if we don't, we're in some serious trouble, and we need to be teaching our kids and our grandkids to do the same thing, to be bold in their schools. I've taught my grandkids, be bold in your school, know what you believe, stand up for what you believe in. Don't be a bully, but don't be bullied.
Well said. Well said. Thank you, Tammy. I appreciate that so much. And she reminds us that, and I agree with her, and I'm glad she said it, everybody has a right to an opinion, even if it's even if we disagree with it, even if it's wrong, they have a right. I saw, you know, as I said, I was in Tennessee yesterday, and my good friend Marsha Blackburn running for the Senate there, great lady, taking on Planned Parenthood, and Taylor Swift came out and said that, you know, she's opposed to her because she's horrible and all this kind of stuff, and you know, Taylor Swift has a right to have an opinion. I mean, everybody does. But, you know, I mean, I think sometimes these entertainers overstep their boundaries, so to speak. I mean, not from the standpoint she has a right to speak, but people pay her to entertain them, not give them political advice. And I think that I think she's tone deaf when it comes to the reality of the great leadership that Marsha Blackburn has given in Washington, D.C., and I think people need to speak out. And even if they're wrong, they have a right to speak out. But here's what happens is I think that it's our folks who are intimidated and grow silent. No longer, okay, no longer should we be silent. Now, we need to speak respectfully of every human being because every human being is created in the image of God and therefore worthy of respect. No matter what choices they've made in life or their lifestyle or anything else, they're worthy of respect. Doesn't mean their ideas or their choices are valid, but they are deserving of respect. And so we need to remember that when we engage in this process. And we should never threaten or intimidate as the left has done. But we should never be intimidated. I've shared this before. My dad used to tell me, son, don't you ever start a fight. If you do, I will wear your rear end out when you get home. That was back in the day when you could actually spank kids. He said, but if you ever run from a fight, I'll wear you out as well. Don't start it, but don't back down from it. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls, but Lord willing, we'll be back again later. Until then, next tomorrow. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.